I'm Jessica Harris, and welcome to my welcome table. I'm going to be at the welcome table. Gather round this special table. It's scarred with memories, pitted with burn spots from hot skillets, and decorated with moisture rings from frosty glasses of lemonade, beer bottles, bourbon and ginger ale, and untold goblets of red wine. This table will be our flying carpet as we travel around the world. I'll share some of my secret spots. We'll meet new friends and reconnect with old ones. Sometimes, the table will be covered with fine Porthot linen and my mother's bone china, and we'll sup on caviar and champagne. Other times, we'll cover it with yesterday's news and hanker down for a crawfish boil or a lobster supper. Whatever the meal, by the end of our time together, we'll have shared some special friends, sacred spots, and the food, drink, and music that connects them. So come, join me at my welcome table.
Hi, my name's Mitzi Pratt, and I'm sitting at the welcome table.
My name is John Barkley, and I'm sitting at the welcome table.
My name is Anne McBride, and I'm sitting at the welcome table.
I'm Betty Fussell, and I, too, am sitting at the welcome table.
Compass Point, 18.47 degrees north, 66.11 degrees west. The Caribbean, Puerto Rico. My first trip to Puerto Rico was an accident. Well, that's not quite true. The Yoruba Orisha dragged me there. I hadn't planned to go, but a cousin who was being initiated into the Yoruba religion informed me that her initiation was being held there, and I had to attend. So I bought a ticket. The initiation got postponed, and I was left with the ticket. The following Christmas, I purchased two more and headed off with my parents in tow for my first trip to the island. I connected with Puerto Rico from the start. It might have been that it was the place my artistic Uncle Greg had decamped when he ran off with the Danish hat check girl from the cabaret where he played the Nova Chord. It might have been that the African drums were still playing bombas at the religious festivals in Luisa Aldea. It might have been the blue cobblestones in Old San Juan that I was told were ballast from the sailing ships that made this rich port, Puerto Rico, their home. Whatever the reason, once I got to the island, it was love. And that was funny because in those days, Puerto Ricans and African Americans were not always the best of friends. All too often there were struggles as each of us tried not to be at the bottom of the city's pecking order. But I didn't care about all of that. And as I traveled more and more frequently to the Caribbean, I found that Puerto Rico became my regional hub. By that time, we'd all fallen in love with Puerto Rico, and with the Last Poets, and with Felipe Luciano, and everybody else.
Jíbaro! Mi negro lindo! De los bosques de caña, caciques de luz. Tiempo es una cosa cómica. Jíbaro, my pretty nigga. Father of my yearning for the...
As the years went by, I fell in with a community of artists, writers, and eventually made friends with Patricia Wilson on a plane to Morocco. But that's another story. We bonded right away over a mutual love of red wine and a tendency to consume vast amounts of it. She would become my one-woman guide to Puerto Rico and its food until she moved to Miami to teach at Johnson & Wales years thereafter. With her, I headed to El Yunque to sample arroz con gandules at a friend's house amidst the forest greenery and dined at the restaurants of Viejo San Juan. I met the artists Daphne Alvira and Nick Quijano and chefs like Alfredo Ayala and Augusta Schreiner and generally fell into a Puerto Rican world where hearing English was the exception, not the norm. I've wandered over those blue cobblestones of old San Juan, stopping at the antique stores and savoring artist's night at the Botello galleries. I met John DeSopo and would head for drinks with her and her husband at the Gallery Hotel that they owned at the highest spot in the old city. We'd sip and savor and talk of the foods that she'd prepared and of meals shared. If I was there in time, I'd catch one of the street festivals on the Calle San Sebastian, or just sit in Patricia's apartment and savor being in another world. In my book, Beyond Gumbo, Creole Fusion Food from the Atlantic Rim, I wrote this about our travels around the island in search of the ambrosial suckling pig called lechon. Pig was what Patricia Wilson and I were looking for as we headed into the Puerto Rican campo. Chef, restaurateur, radio commentator, and now chef instructor at Johnson & Wales, Patricia has been my secret weapon about Puerto Rican food for almost a decade. She has since moved to Miami, but in the days when she was the owner of the gone but not forgotten Bistro Gambaro in Old San Juan, I would visit, and we'd take to the hills on Sunday looking for lechon, the Puerto Rican roast pig that is a sublime use of swine. Usually, we let our noses act as our guides. Soon, our olfactory senses detected the unmistakable aroma of roasting pig. We'd found our spot. It was off in the countryside, surrounded by a few houses with a shady dining area, punctuated by a few tables with umbrellas. We'd enter salivating, and if we were lucky, find that the pig was ready. 1 pound of pork and a few beers would do the trick. Medalla, please. And it would only do the trick as long as there was enough crackling that we didn't fight in the car. Cleavers came out, and the pork was hacked to pieces and packaged in brown paper, while the icy medallas were retrieved from the cooler. Then it was back into the car, and we were on our way again. As we journeyed into the hills of Puerto Rico, selecting pieces of sweet, juicy pork, gnawing on the bones, and taking long gulps of refreshing beer parked brazenly in our cup holders, we said a silent thank you to the Spaniards who brought the pigs to the hemisphere and to the island that Patricia used to jokingly call Puerto Rico. Back in San Juan, after the nap that is obligatory after a pig gorge, it was time to prepare for dinner. Patricia donned her chef's whites, which consisted of hand-embroidered chef's jacket with lace-edged, long, flounced white skirt, and headed down the hill to the restaurant. The outfit is one of the things that first endeared Patricia to me, as it reminded me of the dresses worn by my religious sisters at Casablanca in Bahia, Brazil. A creolized garment, it combines the severity of a French chef's jacket, albeit personalized with Patricia's multi-hued embroidery, with the femininity and fantasy of a laced-edged skirt that women of the Creole world have worn for centuries. It's practical, comfortable, and functional, and woman-friendly in ways chef's pants are not. Thus clothed, Patricia headed into her tiny kitchen where she ruled. Soon the candlelight flickered on the patio in the soft breeze, and the writers, scholars, and members of the Puerto Rican art crowd that made the Bistro Gambaro their hangout assembled to dine on her innovative spins on the traditional dishes under the Puerto Rican night. From my cousin, who was initiated, and her sister-in-law, I learned that Puerto Rico still has an African heart, and it beats on the north coast in what was then a small hamlet called Loíza Aldea. It's there that the African influence on the island's culture are most visible. A recent trip introduced me to El Buerín de Lula, a minuscule roadside eatery in that village. Lula, whose face shows more of the Boricua than the map of Africa, prepares on a wonderful griddle made out of corrugated tin, empanadillas de jueyes. Those are crab sort of empanadas for which the town is best known. Jueyes, or land crabs, are one of the gourmet delights of the Caribbean. Sweet and succulent, they turn up in dishes from Martinique to Trinidad. As tasty as they are, though, they're night scavengers and can only be eaten after they have been purged. Now, in Puerto Rico, That's done by keeping them on a diet of coconut pieces before they're cooked. Needless to say, by the time they hit the pot, all who eat them are smacking their lips and clamoring for more. Unfortunately, I'll never know their sweet taste, as I'm allergic to crustaceans. But that was okay, because Miss Lula also prepares some of the most wonderful sweets, one of them simply a thick slurry of coconut paste that is a Puerto Rican cousin to the cocadas that I've learned to love on the streets of Brazil. El Buirin de Lula is only one of the great street treats of Puerto Rico. From the mountains where Patricia and I went in search of lechon, to the back roads of Loíza, the island is filled with spots where a roadside stop can net some of the best nibbles. Bayamón, outside of San Juan, is noted for its chicharrón, or crackling pork skin, and the expression tan tostado que el chicharrón de Bayamón is one that was often bandied about in my early days. A return trip to the island last December, though, revealed how these foodways are dying out. There were only two roadside stands in Bayamón, and each one of them was owned by the same person who had a monopoly and who bought his chicharrón from a factory in town. Now, chicharrón may be hard to find, but vendors along the beach at Loquillo are still going full tilt, and they fry up savory fritters known as alcapurrias. Prepared from chopped meat or from land crabs or from other ingredients, they, along with codfish fritters known as bacalaitos and meat pie-like turnovers filled with chicken, crab, and other delicacies, are part of the branch of Puerto Rican cookery known as cuchifritos. At Luquillo Beach, they're fried to order and served up hot. Just the thing after a day at the beach with a cold beer or a glass of rum. Cuchifritos aren't the only street food. Everywhere I go, I look for candy. And particularly in the Creole world, where I'm obsessed by the praline and all of its relatives. Now, leaving Loíza Aldea on the road back to San Juan, I happened across an amazing stall that sold all manner of Puerto Rican candies. Besitos de coco rallado, little coconut kisses, and other kinds of delicacies made mixing coconut, shaved coconut, grated coconut, and tropical fruits. The most important was there was one that was studded with chunks of beautiful coconut, kissing cousin to New Orleans praline. Now, if I can't find candies in the road, I look for candies in the market. The Plaza de Mercado in San Juan is one of the town's smaller markets, but it is the most extraordinary place. Smack dab in the middle of a residential area is an old-fashioned market where stalls are brimming to overflowing with beautiful pineapples and guavas and the Barbados cherries known as acerola and my favorite passion fruit called parcha in Puerto Rico. There are spices like cinnamon, and the cinnamon quills are 2 feet long, and annatto that is used to color sofritos. And they even have the chiles that are used to make pique, Puerto Rico's classic hot sauce. Shopping done? There's a bar where post-purchases you can sit with a rum or a medalla and people watch. Or even purchase a lottery ticket. Who knows? Might win. Now, Puerto Rican rum has always been a favorite with me. Many, many years ago, I was honored to be appointed to an advisory board of journalists for the rums of Puerto Rico. We were treated to a trip to the island and feted with all manner of goodies, and sozzled with rum. Our days began with rum Bloody Marys, a wonderful discovery that I still dazzle friends with, and our evenings ended with amber snifters filled with aromatic old rums. We visited the island's main rum factories, and I marveled at the up-to-date complexity of the Bacardi factory, where production is virtually space-age perfection, and the resulting rum made for blending or light sipping. I learned about the range of Bacardi's rum and began my still unfulfilled quest for a taste of their top-of-the-line brew, Facundo. Named for the founder of the distillery, it's only sold in Japan and was not even available to us at the headquarters. Outside of Ponce, in the south of the island, we saw the Palo Viejo factory, another large and modern complex, and were taught about the intricate task of blending rum for smoothness and consistency. We were taken into the blending room at the Don Q factory in Serralles and given a variety of components, then let loose to prepare our own blends of rum. I still have a dust-covered half-pint bottle with about a tablespoon of the rum I'd blended in it. I'd evidenced a taste for the more aromatic rums distilled from sugarcane juice that are the touchstone beverages of the French Caribbean. Now this surprised my Puerto Rican hosts and began a dialogue about rum styles that continues to this day with some of my friends on the island. On that trip, I did find my favorite Puerto Rican rum, one that I still bring back each time I visit the island. After all the modern complexes, we pulled up to a small factory where the rooms were filled floor to ceiling with oaken barrels, and the air was heady with the sweet, sour smell of damp floors, sugarcane bagasse, and mellowing alcohol. The rooms reminded me of those I'd seen at wineries in Burgundy and in Champagne, and the individual barrels stacked one atop the other reminded me of the soleras of Jerez de la Frontera, where sherry is mellowed. The place appealed to my ideas of the romance of rum. This was the Barilito Distillery, a small, family-owned place where the original owner had made his fortune and his name by selling rum in small barrels, barilitos. The rum, though Puerto Rican in style and perfect for blending, reminded me of some of the rum agricole of the French Caribbean with its depth of flavor. It's not always easy to obtain in the U.S., so whenever I'm in Viejo San Juan, I always interrupt my wanderings to take a minute and head to the distillery or the grocery store for a bottle or two of the three-star rum in the little barrel that intrigued me and delighted me so many years ago. But that's only part of Puerto Rico. The real reason to head to Puerto Rico is the food. And no one can pull it all together better than my friend Rosita Maria Gonzalez.
Bienvenidos a la mesa de bienvenida de Jessica Harris de Los Sabores de Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is known for many things, but one of the things it needs to be known about is its food. Food is culture, and it's a very important attractive of our island, particularly because we have three cultures that are blended in the stove: the Africans, the Indians, and the Spanish, and then many others who arrive later, inspiring new ideas, new recipes that are put on our tables every day and are there also for any visitor to enjoy with us.
So, Rosa, where would you suggest that visitors go when they come to Puerto Rico to see something a little bit beyond, you know, maybe Ashford Avenue and the Condado Strip? Where would you send them?
Well, one of the richness of Puerto Rico is that we have flavors to enjoy throughout the island. Every coast inside the island, there are things that you can taste and try. And if you are adventurous and want to go out and explore the flavors on the island of Puerto Rico, I suggest that the first place you should visit, which is not far from San Juan, is the Piñones Coast that takes you right to Luquillo, which is one of the most gorgeous beaches in the Caribbean. That area is a key spot for trying the influence of that blending where the Indians, the Spanish, and the Africans live still today through our food. Enjoy alcapurrias, which are kind of croquettes that are made with pumpkin filled with meat or with huelles, which is our crab. Fried. You tantalize your butts eating that, but also enjoying the beautiful beaches that surround the island. You can see also, if you arrive to Luquillo and step at any of the kiosks that we have there, you can see the huelles also live, hanging on the people who sell them. And you can also see El Yunque, which was a sacred mountain for the Indians. Very important in the history of Puerto Rico, and of the Taínos that also influence many of the dishes that we have. Very important, the African influence, and perhaps the one that links all, regardless of the social status. Everybody likes the fried things, and Africans were known for frying, for seasoning. They add a lot of flavor to our and spice to what we eat. Then, if you wanted to go to the West Coast, you can get to try some mangoes, which are very famous on Mayagüez. You can also have seafood along that coast in Joyuda, Cabo Rojo. You can have fine dining in Ponce while you enjoy the Museum of Art de Ponce, one of the most prestigious in the Americas. And if you want to relax, you can go to Palmas del Mar and the beautiful informal, casual, and fine dining restaurants that we have there. Inside the island, you can go to the mountains and have longanizas in Orocovis, which is a typical sausage that we have here. You can go to Barranquitas. There are restaurants there where you can try the typical food too. And along the island, you will always find flavors, more upscale, more informal, but always something that can attract any person who is able or interested in exploring beyond the typical places.
One last question, Rosita. And I know that we both love a restaurant in San Juan called La Casita Blanca. Tell me a little bit about La Casita Blanca.
Oh, La Casita Blanca is a spot that anyone who really looks for culture should not miss. And interestingly enough, they open a second location closer to the tourist zone. If you don't have time or don't want to go to the traditional original landmark, because it has become a landmark in San Juan, in Calle Taft, in the area of Villa Palmeras, where I happen to grow. It's a beautiful place because it transports you to the very, very typical flavors of any house. It's not fancy, but unique. You feel the essence and the heart of the people who are cooking there. And you can have very traditional meals and always end your meal with a chichaito, which is a drink that they made specially and at the restaurant, and you're not going to find it in other places.
Well, what's it made of, a chichaito?
It has anise.
Anise, yes. I remember I went to La Casita Blanca years ago with my mother, and they were all so surprised because she ordered pig's feet, which of course is something that we African Americans share with Puerto Ricans.
But let me tell you something very interesting, that pig's feet had become a gourmet item now in fine cuisine, because the chefs in other countries have found new ways to present that on the plate. So now, you know, this recipe, which my grandmother also did, and I did not like the way she did, we have found new ways to enjoy, thanks to the creativity and the technical skills of other professionals who have transformed this essence of our culture into something new.
Thank you so much. One last thing. Tell us what you do. Puerto Rican food is served in all different ways, from the traditional, which you can find at places like La Casita Blanca, but also the contemporary, which you can dine on in places like Willow Bennett, Picayo in the Condado district. I, however, still hark back to my Puerto Rico past and try to never leave the rich port without heading to the hills, following my nose, and getting one last taste of lechon. So until next time,